Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Vav. We will begin on Daf Hey Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. The Gemara at the end of our previous shir had taught us that the halach is that we're not allowed to sell something to the Nachrim 3 days before their holiday, because there's a concern that they're going to use those animals for sacrificing them to their Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara said that the Nachrim are only careful about Mechusa Aver, that if the animal is missing a limb, it becomes disqualified to be used. Says the Gemara, the Amar, Rabbi Lazim, Nain Mechusa Aver, the Oslo B'nai Noach. How do we know that they may not use an animal that's missing an organ, a limb? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, regarding the Mabel. The Pasuk says, Mikol Chai, Mikol Bas, Shnai, Mikol Tov El Tevil, Achis Itcha. Amr Torah, the Torah told us, Havei Behema Shechain Rosh Ever and Shalah, that Noach was told to only bring animals that are not missing any organs. So just like Noach was instructed not to bring any animals with missing organs to the Teva, that's where it became that the B'nai Noach don't use that type of an animal for their karbonis. And that's why they need 3 days for that examination. But ask the Gemara, isn't that pasuk needed to teach us, doesn't that pasuk need to teach us that they can't bring an animal which is not a treifa, but rather and cannot survive? How do we know that it means to teach us that an animal that's missing an organ, which potentially can live, cannot be brought for a carbon? Answers the Gemara, treifa, that they can't bring an animal to treifa, that is taught melachia zara nafka. The Torah says that the animals have to be lachia zara. A treifa cannot have children. So once the Torah says lachia zara, we know a treifa is excluded. So when the Torah says, well, mikolachai, from here we learn that an animal that's missing an organ also is disqualified for a carbon by a nochri. Ask the Gemara, hanich lemandomer. So this explanation would be understandable according to the opinion that holds treifa and yeledis, that an animal that's treifa cannot have children. Elamandomer, according to the opinion that holds treifa and yeledis, that a treifa can have children by eklamema. The pasuk of Malachia Zera cannot be here to exclude treifa, because a treifa is an animal that can survive. So we'll say that the words mekolachai are being used to exclude a treifa. But where will we know that an animal that's missing an organ cannot be used for a carbon by b'nei noach? Amakra says the Gemara, there's another pasuk by noach. The pasuk says tavi. And from here we learn that the animals that were brought to the Teva have to be like Noach. And just like Noach wasn't a treifa, so too the animals that were brought are not a treifa. And if that's the way we're going to learn, we have the pasuk that we began the shir with to exclude an animal that's mechusa aver. Because the way that we know a treifa is excluded because they're compared to Noach. Asking Rav Dima Noach Gufa Treifa Hava, maybe Noach himself was a treifa, and if Noach was a treifa, then the animals, even though they have to be similar to him, would not be a treifa. Answers the Mara, what the Torah says about Noach is Tamim Ksibay. Tamim means that Noach was whole. He wasn't a treifa. Says the Gemara, Dilma Tamim B'drachav Haya. The Tamim doesn't mean that he wasn't a treifa. Maybe what it means was that in his behavior, he was a Tamim. Says the Gemara, Tzadik Ksibay. Says the Gemara, already says that he was a Tzadik. So the word Tamim, the Gemara is saying, can't be here to teach us about Noach's behavior, because that we learn from the word Tzadik. Tamim is presumably here to teach us that Noach wasn't a treifa, and therefore the animals that were brought for into the Teva can't be a treifa either. Says the Mara, still, Tamim, still refers to his behavior, and we'll explain Tamim Bedrachov. Tamim comes to speak about in his behavior he was a Tamim, but Tzad B'masav in his action. But we don't have a proof. We don't have a proof that Noach was not a treifa. So Rashi explains, what is the definition of Tamim Bedrachov? That he was an onof, he was a modest person, but Tzadik B'maisav was that he didn't steal. The Ritva explains, Tamim was the way he acted towards other people, and Tzadik was the way that he acted towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ask the Ritva, if that's what Noach and who Noach was all about, why when the Pasuk describes Noach, does the Pasuk only say that he was a tzaddik? If according to this explanation, he was such an incredible person. So the Ritva answers, there's a rule that mixes shvach lefonav, that whenever we praise a person in his presence, we limit what we say. And therefore he says that although, as the Pasuk is teaching us now, Noach was a very great person, the Pasuk only speaks about these only called him a tzaddik, because when you speak to him, it wants to be limited. I saw that the Shem Shmuel says, what is the definition of Tamim Bedrachov? So he explains the definition of Tamim Bedrachov is that there are people that have different behavior at different times. What the Pasuk is saying about Noach is Tamim Bedrachov, that under all circumstances, Noach remained the same, and he did not get influenced by things that happened differently. I saw that the Sefer Cheshuker Chemed says that Tamim is certainly a way to compliment a person. And what the Rashi said, as we said a moment ago, is the definition of Tamim is that he's an onuf. And he says that the contrary, the opposite of somebody of who is humble and modest, is actually obviously someone who is. So he says is someone who is a balgaiva. He says a balgaiva is a mum, is considered a blemish. Why is it considered a blemish? Because when somebody's a balgaiva, and he needs, for example, to understand something. So if he's an onof, he won't be embarrassed to ask somebody to teach him. But when he is if he is a balgaiva, he'll never ask anybody else anything, and he'll remain without knowing what he's supposed to know. And that, he says, is what it says in the Gemara. Haiman the Yohir, somebody who acts in an arrogant fashion, is Balmumhu, is considered a Balmum. Says the Gemara, so we still don't have a proof that Noach wasn't a treifa. And if Noach wasn't a treifa, then the animals that were brought to the table, which have to be similar to Noach, we don't have a proof that a treifa cannot be used. We'll have to use the pasuk of Mikol Achai to exclude a treifa, and we won't know the halacha of a mechusa eva. And says the Gemara, "Lisalka datach the Noach gufa treifa hava." It's difficult to assume that Noach was a treifa. This salka datach the Noach treifa hava. If we're going to say that Noach was a treifa, amalei rechmana, and the Torah is saying, "Bring itcha, bring the same as you," so we can understand, says the Gemara, if Noach wasn't a treifa, and the Torah is instructing Noach, Hashem is instructing Noach, that just like you are not a treifa, the animals that you should bring in should not be a treifa. But if Noach was a treifa, why would Hashem specifically want kavasach ayil, that he should bring only to the teva people, animals that are like him, who are a treifa, shleimim l'tayil? Why should he specifically not bring healthy animals? So says the Gemara, if so, v'hashta nafkalei mitcha. So now we're learning that Noach was not a treifa, because from the word itcha, so lahach yezera lamali. So why do we also have the lahach yezera that also seems to teach us about the quality of the animals that were brought? Answers the Gemara, imi itcha, If we only had the word itcha, hava mina, we would think that the purpose of the animals that Noach was told to bring into the teva were only letzaf sabalma. They were only there to give Noach, to keep Noach trumf company. And that would mean that only a treifa should be excluded. And the only reason a treifa should be excluded, because the animal won't survive, and then the purpose of having that animal in the teva to keep Noach company would fall away. But a filozokin, but other disqualifications, an animal that's old, an animal that's sterile, can be brought into the teva. That's why kasrach manazera, that has to be only animals that can multiply, because that was their purpose of being in the teva, to continue having these animals in existence after the mabul. So we learned that the Mishnah taught us lofnei edem shalav dekham shloishim yom, for 3 days before their holidays, also losses for losses himam. Says the Gemara, when we count these 3 days, ibalu shloish yomim, when we count these days, heim ve'edeim, does that include the actual holidays, one of the 3 days? Adama heim b'lay edeim, it means 3 days and the holiday is not included. Toshma, so says the Gemara, the Mishnah teaches us on Dav Zayinim and Bezer Shmuel Omer, shloish lofneim, for 3 days before the holidays, we have these restrictions. Shloish lachreim, and for 3 days after the holidays, also we're not allowed to do any business with them. And if we're going to say that the 3 days are with the holiday, Rabbi Shmuel, so when the Mishnah says Shlosh Yom Lefneim, Shlosh Yom Lachreim, Yom Chedeim Choshlo Mikara, why does he say the holiday when he says 3 days before for Choshlo B'Soif, and then he says it again? It must be that the 3 days don't include the holiday. And what the Mishnah is teaching us, the holiday is not mentioned. 3 days before, 3 days after, says the Gemara. It could be when it says 3 days before includes the holiday as well. And why does he speak when he says Shlosh Yom Achreim? It also includes the holiday. But then the question is, why is the holiday itself mentioned twice? It says the Gemara, either the Tani Shlosh Lefneim, because we speak about 3 days before, that's why Tana Nam Shlosh Lachreim, we say the same wording for the 3 days afterwards, but that's not because there's a problem that we're speaking about the holiday itself twice. That isn't, it just wants to be a consistency of language. Toshma. Dom Rav Tachlifi Bar Avdimi Omer Shmuel. Yom Rishon. Sunday, which in some religions is a holiday, the Divrei Rav Shmuel, according to Rav Shmuel, La'olam Osir. If we're going to consider the holiday itself, as if we're going to consider Sunday as a holiday itself, the result would be we can never do business with them. Because we have the 3 days before Sunday, then we have Sunday, which is the actual holiday, and then we have 3 days afterwards, so it's the whole week. But ask the Gemara, V'salkadatach, if we're going to say, when we say 3 days, includes the actual holiday, Hein Ve'edeim, so that means Sunday would be Asur, Friday and Shabbos before, Monday and Tuesday afterwards, but Wednesday, Thursday, Ek Arba V'Chamisha, Wednesday and Thursday, the Shari, there would be Mutter, says the Gemara. I leave Rav Shmuel, when we speak about Rav Shmuel's opinion, certainly it means Lekim Bailein Dehem B'Lo Yedein. It means 3 days before the holiday and the 3 days after the holiday. According to the Rabbanon, that only speak about 3 days before the holiday as being a time that you can't do business with them. What is meant when the halacha says 3 days before Mai? Does it mean 3 days and then the holiday? Or does the holiday include in the 3 days? Amar Vina Toshma, the Mishnah Daf Ches Amar Alf teaches us, these are the holidays of the Nachrim. Kalanda, Saturnia, Vekatisim. Vamrav Chana Barava, Kalanda, Shmoni Yom Sh'achat Tekufa. The holiday of Kalanda, they celebrated the 8 days after Tekufa Shal Tevis. We know there are four Tekufas, four seasons. And this was the 4 day, that was the 8 days after the winter season begins. Saturnia, Shloish Yom Lefnei Tekufa. the 8 days before that days, the siman, and the way to remember what holiday takes place when, is based on the pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Acha v'kedem tzartani." Usually, we speak about what happens first, and what happens second. Here, the way the holidays are mentioned is the holiday after Tekufas Teves is mentioned before the holiday before Tekufas Teves. V'salkadatach. If we're going to say that when it says the 3 days, it means Hein V'edayim, so that means the 3 days include the holiday itself, Asar Hava, will have 10, because the holiday is 8 days, and then the holiday is 8 days, and then there's the days before. The fact that it's mentioned, the fact that it's not mentioned that way is a critic, is an indication that the 3 days don't include the holiday. Says the Ratana Kula Klan the Chajaimu Khashulay. Says the Gemara, it's not a proof. The Tana does include the holiday itself in the 3 days. The Kalanda is 1 day. That's the only day that he considers. And that's why he says that the 3 days before are also. In other words, there's no proof to this issue. The 3 days before the holiday, we're not allowed to do business with them. If we're going to say, Hein V'edayim, that in the 3 days are included the holiday itself. That means that when the holiday comes, we have a total of 3 days. The fact that it's focused only on Lifnei Edayim is a proof that these 3 days are before the holiday and nothing to do with the holiday itself. If you're going to say that the reason Lifnei Edayim was mentioned is not mentioned because it's excluding or including the holiday. The point of saying Lifnei Edayim is to teach us that only before the holiday is there an issue, La'mute Lacha Edayim, but after the holiday, according to Rabbanan, there's no issue. If that's the point, says the Mar Lifnei Edayim Shalav Dekacham Shloish Yom Lifneiim Osir. So we will know that that would be enough to teach us that we're only focused on before the holiday. The fact that it's said this way, Shema Mino, that what we're trying to teach here is Hein B'loy Edayim, that those 3 days have nothing to do with the holiday itself. There's 3 days, and the holiday is separate as being Osir. Shema Mino. Ibailu. So now, as we've been learning, we're not allowed to do any business with them for 3 days before the holiday. And now ask the Gemara, what's the reason? Is the concern Mishum Havacha that the Nochri makes profit from any transactions we do with them, and therefore they're going to go to praise and thank their God, and by the Yisrael doing business with them in such a fashion, we're over what the Pasuk says, V'shem Elohim Acherim Lo Yisuskiu Lo Yisham Al Picha, that we should not in any way, explain the Rishonim, be the reason, we should not in any way be the reason that they should praise their God. When we sell an animal to a Nochri, and he then goes and brings the animal to his Avodah Zorah, which of course the halacha is that the Nochri, as we've been learning, may not worship Avodah Zorah, we, by selling the animal, have been instrumental in him doing something that he's not allowed to do. And the Rishonim point out that even though we learned at the beginning of the Masechta on the Beis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exempted them from the Zayin Mitzvah named Noach, so as we spoke when we learned that shir, it doesn't mean that they're exempt. It means that they don't get the schar, or they're doing something right or doing something wrong is not that effective. But of course they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zorah, and if they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zorah, we're not allowed to in any way help. We're not in any way allowed to help them worship Avodah Zorah. There's some Rishonim that say that when the Gemara mentions this reason, Lifnei Evil Sita Mechshol, everybody agrees that that's the reason why we're not allowed to do business. Rather, what the Gemara means to ask over here, is that the only reason? Or is Havocha was Havacha also included? There's also a discussion when we this is a fundamental question, as we're going to be discussing the halacha of Lifnei Ivel Esita Michshol. What does that mean? Is Lifnei Ivel Esita Michshol a part of the Aveira? That means if somebody did cause somebody to worship Avodah Zarah, it's as if he worshipped Avodah Zarah. Well, Lifnei Ivel is an Aveira, that we're not allowed to cause somebody to do an Aveira, but it's not considered the equivalent of doing the Aveira. Says the Maralamai Nafkamina, why do we have to know this? Because what's going to be the halacha where the Islay behind him of the day, where the Nachri already has another animal? If the reason is that we're concerned that by us doing business and selling them an animal, they're going to go praise their God. So even if the Nachri already has an animal, by us providing him another animal, he praises his God. But if we're going to say the issue is Mishim Lifnei Ivel Esita Michshol, that's only possible that without us he couldn't have done the Averi. He could have brought the animal anyway, because he has an animal. Ha'isla the day, he already has animals. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The V'chiesle, that if he already has an animal and we provide him with another animal, Loi Avar Mishim Lifnei Ivel Esita Michshol, V'ha Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Amar Rab Nassim, Nain Shla Yosha, Adam Kaisha Yael and Nazar. How do we know that one is not allowed to give a Nazar any cup of wine? And of course, the Rishonim point out that it doesn't only mean this Aveira of giving wine to a Nazar. Why was this pointed out? That one explanation I saw is that by other foods, if we give somebody a food that they're not allowed to eat, it's not necessarily likely that the person who we give the food to is going to eat that food. But a nazir, where everybody else is drinking wine and he's not drinking wine, maybe there's more of a concern. That's one pshat. Another pshat is if I give somebody non-kosher food, it's understandable why I'm over lifnei ivel, because I'm not allowed to eat kosher non-kosher food and I'm not allowed to provide him with kosher food. But when we speak about a nazir, I give him wine, and I am allowed to drink wine, maybe there wouldn't be a lifnei ivel. That's why we're learning here, that even if it's not an aveira for me, if it's an aveira for him, I'm over lifnei ivel. Furthermore, how do we know Eva ben Achai ben Noach? Nochrim are not allowed to eat Eva ben Achai. How do we know we may not provide Eva ben Achai to a ben Noach tamalei lifnei ivel esita michshol? But ask the Gemara, if we won't give him that, he could take it by himself. And yet we see it doesn't make a difference. So why are we saying, ask the Gemara, that if we're going to give, if we're going to sell an animal to a Nachri who already has an animal, we're not over lifnei ivel, why not? Answers the Gemara, that price of my skin is speaking about Trey Avadinara, that there's no way for the Nazir to get the wine without me. There's no way for the Ben Noach to get the Eva Menachai without me. And that's why there's Lifnei Ivel. Deken Nami Diktani, La Yoshit. If we look at the wording in the Brice says, La Yoshit, La Yoshit, La Yoshit. That means that there's no way for him to get it without me. If he could get it without me and still be over, it would have said Layitain. He could get it, but I shouldn't give it to him. The fact that it says Yoshit is an indication that it's speaking about a situation that there's no way for him to get it without me. And then and only then is there an Isser of Lifnei Ivel Esita Michshol Shma Minam. So here the Gemara has begun to speak about the Isser of Lifnei Ivel Esita Michshol, but we learned that the Isser of Lifnei Ivel only applies if there's betray Avid in the Hara, where he couldn't get it on his own. But in a case where, if he had an animal, for example, in his own, which he could bring to Avodah Zarah, then I won't be over Lifnei Ivel. Derma, when he brings this halacha, says it's also to sell to a guy something that he could use for an Avodah Zarah, only if the item is not otherwise available to him. However, if the item can be purchased in other stores, then you could sell it to him, because as our Gemara indicates, if he could get it without me, there's no Lifnei Ivel. The Tshuva Samunishmu, questions this psak. He says, in every case, it's always possible to get an animal somewhere in the city. So why does the Mishnah, why is Al-Gemara saying that if the Nachri doesn't have his own animal, Am Oiver Lifnaiver, why should that be the case? If the fact is, if the Nachri could get the animal elsewhere, it should already be enough that I shouldn't be Oiver Lifnaiver. The Pesach Tshuva answers this question by quoting a Mishnah Lamelech. He says that the Issa of Lifnaiver is only suspended where he could get what's usher through a permitted fashion. He says what the Ramah means to say that you're allowed to sell some an Avodah Zara to an Akum if the Akum could buy the Avodah Zara from a different Akum. But the fact that the Akum could get, for example, the animal from a different Jewish cattle dealer would not make that Tzna Lifnaiver. He says, since all Jews have an Issa Lifnaiver, and if the only way the Akum could get the animal is by purchasing it from a Jew, then it's considered that we all are over, that it would be considered that we were all, that it's still considered, even according to the Ramah, a situation of lifnei over. It's interesting that the Sefer Margolis Hayom points out when the Gemara spoke about it, the two examples of lifnei over, the Gemara said kois yayin lenazir ve'evi menachay lebnei noyach. When it spoke about a nazir, it said it beloshin yochid nazir. When it spoke about the Evim and Achai, it said, B'nei Noach Haloshon Rabbim. Says the Gemara, says the Megillah Shem, why? He says, to be over Lifnaiver, then you have a shear. So if you're going to have one cup of wine, and you're going to give it to a number of Nazirim, so no one Nazir is going to get the shear of what's Asr. If no one Nazir is going to get the shear what's usher, then you won't be over Lifnaiver. But as we often learn in Shas, he points out, when we speak about Nachrim, there are no shurim. And since by Nachrim, there are no shurim, so even if you have a number of Nachrim, and you only have one Eivim and a Chai, you're going to be over Lifnaiver, because even if every Nachri gets just a small part, there's no shurim. The Machz Avram discusses a situation where you have a bakery that's owned by a Jew that's open on Shabbos, and the issue that he discusses is there an Isser Lifnaiver if you buy from that bakery after Shabbos. And again, even, and it goes back to the Mishnah Melech that we discussed a few moments ago. According to the Mishnah Melech, if all Jews are causing that something should happen, that's enough to make a Lifnaiver. Here too, if this is a kosher bakery, so all of us buying from there makes it into a Lifnaiver. But not everybody agrees with the Mishnah Melech. The Stipler discusses this situation, and there was a famous story that in Israel there was only one factory that manufactured cement, and it was open on Shabbos. And the question was, were Jews allowed to buy from that factory that had Jewish employees that were working on Shabbos? And again, this is really connected to the Mishnah Melech, because the Mishnah Melech says that even though if it's not one Jew, but if all the customers are Jewish, that makes it into Lifnei Ivner, that maybe would make this into a situation of Lifnei Ivner. But the Stipler says it may not be the same, because the more customers, the cement factory is making a lot of cement. So the more customers, the more cement they'll manufacture. And therefore, it may be different. The Mechs Yitzchak, in discussing the Shail de Machs Avram, says that the only issue of Lifnaiver is somebody buys from that bakery what he baked on Shabbos. But if you buy from what he baked after Shabbos, there isn't Lifnaiver. Even though, as Al-Gemara has limited Lifnaiver, certainly to a case of Trey Avid and Nahara, only when the other person could not have done the Avera only without me, there's still an issue of Messiah. And one may not in any way participate, even though it could have happened without me, and make helping somebody do an Aveira. The Shalosh Tshuvos Meishes Dover discusses the situation, what's going to be the halacha if you have a man and a woman who are not religious, and they're not going to keep Taras HaMishpacha. Could you introduce them one to the other? Because on one hand, it's not Lifnei Iver, because they could have met without you, and they're not doing the Aveira. Masayaya is only if you're helping them as they do the Aveira. When you introduce them, they're not doing the Aveira. Still, he suggests that it's not considered, it should maybe not be done. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman discussed the situation that what's the halacha? Are you allowed to rent out an apartment to people who are not Shomer Shabbos, who will use the appliances on the apartment on Shabbos and Yontif, Chil Shabbos, Chil Yontif? So again, it's not Lifnei Iver, because they could get a different apartment. And therefore he says, you're allowed to do it only in a case where, however he says, it's not in a place where the other neighbors are religious. If the other neighbors are religious, bringing that type of a neighbor into that facility would be usur. There's also discussion, if we speak about Masayaya, is there Masayaya by a drabonon? For example, the question that comes up is if you have a restaurant that people come to buy food by, and they eat there, and the people won't wash their hands before they eat bread, or they won't make a bracha, are you allowed to have that restaurant open for non-religious people? So again, there's certainly no Lifnei Iver, because they could get food elsewhere. It's only a question of Masayaya, but it's a Masayaya b'drabonon. Rav Volzner has reasons to be lenient. One is, he suggests that one should put up a sign that everybody should make a bracha. That's one thing he suggests. The other thing is that if you're selling it, it's considered business, and therefore it's not Messiah, it may not be Messiah. I'm not sure I understand why, because he says, I think, that once you sell it to him, you have a financial obligation, but that doesn't explain why you're allowed to sell it to him. But then he says the main heter is that the main heter is, because when you're selling it to him, he's not eating it right on the spot. That's maybe more by a takeout store. And therefore, the halach is that it's not Masayayim, because it's not actually the time and Aveira. But then the question that some Paiskim ask, I saw it was asked to Rabbi Yoshev, is that can you invite non-religious people to a wedding? They're going to come to the wedding, and they're going to eat without washing their hands and not making a bracha. On the other hand, you're causing bad feelings. These are your relatives, and you're not inviting them to the wedding. So Rabbi Yoshev says there may be reason to be lenient, and explains that the reason one could be lenient is that it's certainly not Lifnei Iver, again, because they don't because they could get food elsewhere. But why is it not considered Masayaya? He says because that they may sit by a table, and there will be other guests at the table who make a bracha, and will be mitzi them with the bracha. And then he suggests that even if we don't have that situation, he does suggest that maybe they will come to the wedding, but they won't eat. And because it's not certain that we're going to have a situation that they're doing something wrong, that's why it's not considered Lifnei Iver or Masayaya. Ask the Gemara, we've been learning the halacha is that we're not allowed to do business with them, certainly the 3 days before the holiday. What's going to be halacha nosav and nosamai if somebody did do business with them during that period? Rav Yochanan, nosav and nosan asur. If they did business with them in that period, it would be asur to have any benefit from that transaction. V'rav Rish Lakish, nosav and nosan mutar. Eser Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish. It says in a brayse, Adem Shleiv Kachavim, nosav and nosan asurim. If you did business with them, it's asur. My laugh. Doesn't the Braisa mean to say, Lifnei Edeim, that even if you did business with them before the holiday, it's also to have any benefit? Says the Maloi. What this Braisa is speaking about, Edeim Dafka. On the holiday itself, you're not allowed to have any benefit. But before the holiday, of course, you shouldn't have done this business. But if you do, it doesn't mean that it's Osir. Iqdami is Esav Shim ben Lakshra B'yachran. Edeim Shav de Kchavim Nos V'Nosan Osir. What do we see from here? Edeim in, only on the holiday itself. Lifnei Edeim Loi, but before the holiday not. And it says the Gemara, Tana, it's not a proof. Tana Ede V'Ede Edeim Karlei. Both the time before the holiday and the actual holiday are called Edeim. And if anything, then the Braisa would be a Raya that if you did business, you're not allowed to benefit. This Braisa clearly supports what Rish Lakish said, because the Braisa says, Shamru, when Chazal taught us in the Mishnah that also losses for losses in Maim, we're not allowed to do business with them. We're not allowed to do business only with something that will be still in existence on the day of the holiday. Like we explained when we began this Masechta, like vegetables, loy, there is no problem. But feel b'dav meskayim, even something that will still remain in existence, the halacha is nos v'nosan, if you did the wrong thing, mutar. As says the Gemara, Tanin Rav Zvid, b'rei the Reb Oishia. Furthermore, the Ritvos points out that the entire discussion in our Gemara is only regarding the individual who did the business. But someone else who isn't the actual perpetrator certainly could have benefit. Taner is with the Bei Rabbi Oishia, Davashem Eskayim, something that won't be in existence until the holiday, Meichelahem, we could sell them, Ava'ein Loichemahem. We're not allowed to buy such a thing, because when we pay the Nachri and he has the money, he's going to take the money and praise his Avodah Zarah for what he earned. Says the Rahumino, the Shalai Dinri Kasrino, that he took a dinner, Rabbi Yehuda Nesinah B'yem Eidei. He gave Rabbi Yehuda this Nesiah, he gave him this gift on their holiday. And the Rishonim point out, the Tosfos Rit says, that this Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah that's mentioned in Gemara is not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, because Rish Lakish did not live at the time of Yehuda Hanasi, and certainly Rish Lakish, as we're about to learn, would have never told Rabbi Yehuda Nasi what to do. The Yehuda Nasi, who's mentioned now, Gemara, was a grandson of Yehuda Nasi. He was the son of Rav Gamliel, who was the son of Yehuda Nasi. And says the Gemara, Yosef Rish Lakish Kamei, Rish Lakish was sitting there, and now Rav Yehuda Nasi had a dilemma. Hechi Eved, what should I do? Ashkelei, if I'll take the coin from him, Ozla Mayurid, he'll go and he'll thank his Avodah Zarah, because he'll thank his Avodah Zarah that this important person took money from him. And the Miri points out that this, therefore, will only apply to somebody great, like Rabbi Yehuda Nasiah, which the Nachrim would be so happy that he was willing to take a gift from them. Another person, not. Others showing him disagree. And they say it would apply to everybody taking a gift from them, any Jew taking a gift from them on their holiday. Ashkelei, so again, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, I have a dilemma. Ashkelei, if I'll take it, Ozol Moida, he'll go thank his Avodah Zarah. Loi Ashkelei, but if I refuse to take it, Havlei Eva. There's going to be Eva from them to us, that this is the way I treat them. And I have to be, of course, most sensitive to that. Amalei Rish Lakish, Tol, take it, Vizroik Oysel above the front of, and throw it away. Said Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a good piece of advice. If the Nachri sees me throw it away, Koshkei the Havalei Eva, he'll certainly hate me. Says the Maharad, Rish Lakish says to him, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, Kalach Yarhu Dekemna. What I meant is, don't throw it out, but what you should do is, throw it out, have it destroyed, and if you take it and destroy it, then the Halachi is that the Nachri won't thank his Avodah Zarah, but he won't think that you deliberately threw it out. There was an interesting question where there's a Jewish doctor who was treating a Nachri patient. And the question is, and the Nachri on his holiday gave that Jewish doctor a gift. And the question was asked to Rabbi Yashiv, may he accept the gift or not? There's the concern that we just learned of Yom Edom. So Rabbi Yashiv took two reasons why to be lenient. One is, he didn't give him the gift because the gift wasn't given because of religious reasons. The gift was given as a karas atayiv, thanking him for what he did for the patient. In a case like that, the concern of the Gemara doesn't exist. Moreover, he says, we go back to something that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. We spoke at the beginning of the Masechta that the Nachrim Bezman Hazeh are really not keeping the religion, that it's only what they saw from their forefathers. Given that circumstance, there's room for leniency. We learned furthermore in the Mishnah, Lashil and Lishlamahem. The 3 days before the holidays, we're not allowed to lend them something nor borrow from them. Says the Bishlam Lashilan, we're not allowed to lend them anything to come out marvichlei. They're going to thank their God because we gave them this item that they wouldn't have had anyway. Avalishmahan, if we're going to take something from them, mutakam matlu, so we're causing them to lose something. Why should it be prohibited? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Gazra Lishmahan Atala Shilam. That you we're not allowed to borrow because we're not allowed to lend. And as the Rabbeinu Chananel explains, the way it usually works is people who I lend, I borrow from, and vice versa. And therefore, if we're going to borrow from them, we're ultimately going to come lend to them. Rav Amar Kumishim Da'azlamaydahu. Even in a case where we're borrowing from them, the Nachri is most satisfied that a Jew borrowed something from him. And therefore, that will cause that he will go and praise his Avodah Zarah. La'avoysam lo'avoysmahem. We're not allowed to lend and borrow to them. And the difference between Hava and Sheila, as we've said in other Shurim, is Sheila is what I lent and borrowed, the actual item that I lent and borrowed, I have to get back. Levoisim is money. I lend them, I borrow money, but I'm not getting back, obviously, the exact money that I lent or borrowed. So again, Bishlam Levoisim, we're not allowed to lend them money. Bishlam the Kamavikla, we're giving them that money, and that will cause them to thank their Avodah Zarah. El Levis Mehen, why may we not borrow from them? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abai, Gzer Levis Mehen, Otel Avoisim. Says, Mar Rav Amar Kul, Mishim Da'az Lamaydu, who it's all included, that once we borrow, we're going to lend, etc. Lefraya Lefremen, we're not allowed to pay them or get paid. Says the Mar Bishlam Leparon, to pay them is understandable. Shun the Kamaravichlu, we give them that money. El Lefremen, but to get payment from them, why is it us? Mut Mematlu, answers the Gemara, Amar Bay Exer Lefremen, Otelefarim. It's all connected. If we're going to lend from them, if we're going to lend them, we're going to come to borrow them. It's all connected. So Rishonim ask a question. The Mishnah says the reason. The Mishnah says, Avi Shemetsu Achshav, when he's paying me now, he's unhappy. So Mechlu Achzman, he ultimately is going to be happy that he paid off his debt. So why is the Gemara introducing a new reason? So Rishonim explain, it's a combination. If it would only be that the Sameach L'Achazman, that wouldn't be enough of a reason that we shouldn't be able to get paid back from them. Only because there's also the issue that if we do one, we're going to do the other. The combination of those two concerns make it Asr. Rav Amakul Mishnah D'Azla Maidabahu, in the Thai Mishnah, the issue always is that he's going to thank his Avodah Zarah, because if he takes off this debt from his head, that makes him happy. So ask the Gemara, Mishnah mentioned three cases, and they really seem to be all the same. So why were all three cases necessarily taught? V'tzrichi. Ditana losav losmahem shem de kamavichlei ozlamayda. When you do business, there's profit involved. Avalishmahem, to come in mart milhem. When we borrow money from them that they're ending up losing, maybe it should be mutter. V'tana lishmahem shem de shivalei milsa. The Nachri feels very good about the fact that I borrowed from him. And that's why Azul Maida. Ava Lilvis Mahem, But when it's not a specific item, it's only when we're taking money from them, Tsaris Lahu, because they're always concerned, Shenema Tov LaHadri Zuzi, maybe they're not going to pay back what they borrowed. V'tena Livus Mehem, Shendekar Baruch Mefa'ana. If I borrow money, the guy says he's certainly going to pay me back because I'm going to make sure he pays me back. And that's why he goes and thanks his Avodah Zarah. Avli Parmehem, the Sulay Hadri Zuzi. But when he's going to pay me, he's not getting anything back. So maybe we should consider that Emet Sar Islahu. It's only something negative. And he won't thank his Avodah Zarah. That's why Tricha, that's why we needed to have all these reasoning. Yudaim in the front of him, Yudah says we're allowed to get payment from them, Nation Meitzolai. Ted said the Rabbanan to Yudah, Amalai Api Shemetzol Achshav, they may be unhappy now, Smechul Achazman. Says the Gemara, less later, Yudah, does Yudah not agree with that concept of Api Shemetzol Achshav, Smechul Achazman? Ask the Gemara, Tanya, Yudaim Ishlai Tosud B'moyed. A woman is not allowed to put on makeup and Chalamoyed because Shemne Nivololoi. Treatment of putting on that makeup is very painful, so you're not allowed to do it in Chol HaMoed. Moed Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda does agree. B'sit sheyoch lekaploi, if it's a treatment that you could take off on Chol HaMoed, and then you'll still have benefit and enjoyment on the rest of Chol HaMoed and on Yontif, shetofel sabi moed that you could do that treatment on Yontif. Because, says Rabbi Yehuda, api shemetzira achshav, even though she's suffering now when she's having the actual treatment, smechi lachazman. So we see that he does subscribe to this concept. Amar Rav Nachman, hanach lehilchas moed. Don't ask questions from hilchas chalamoid. The kula meitza achshav smechi lachazman. Whenever we speak about those halachas, they're in the category of what you're allowed to do or not allowed to do is dependent if you're going to have ultimately Hanor from them or not. Ravinama, Oiv Kachamal in Puran Loyla Meitza. We can't, maybe Rabbi Yehuda does subscribe to the concept of Meitzer Achshav Smeil Achazman. But a Nachri thinks to himself that I don't have to really pay the loan. I could get away without paying the loan. And if he pays the loan, he considers it something painful. The Mishnah Masnissen that says that we're not allowed to get back a debt from a Nachri before the holiday, the like of Shuma Karcha. The Tanya of Shimon Kaichaimer, Malva Bishtar, ain't from him. Because until he pays up his loan, the Nachri is concerned that the Yisrael has a Shtar against him. And therefore, the fact that he pays off that loan and that Shtar, which as we learn often in Shas, is very powerful, that's outstanding against him, makes him very unhappy. And when he pays up, he's happy. Milva Peh, Nifrimim. But if it's only Milva Peh, so the Nachri really is not that concerned about getting about paying. And he thinks he maybe could get away with it because there's no shtar against him. So when we do get paid, we'll let it, anytime we can get the money, we should take it. Because who knows if we'll ever be able to get that money. So whatever we get, we should take as quickly and as effectively as possible, whether it's before the holiday or any other time.